fullest form. Loving kindness forevermore. Son of David and Son of God, He is Christ the
up your voice and sing out his darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forever.
unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God with us, go and tell, Emmanuel has come from heaven.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you. Our theme for this morning here at Trinity is joy. And I woke up and it said that it was 18 degrees outside. And then with the wind chill, it was 2. And I said, Lord, I'm supposed to be joyful today. And this is not working. But praise the Lord, we have joy no matter our circumstances, right? That's the way it works. And so that will be our focus this morning as we finish up our Advent season series, as we look at the joy of the Lord in relation to Christmas. But again, just thank you for joining us this morning as we have gathered here to worship the Lord. And we will worship God in many different ways today. In a moment, I'll read from the scriptures to be our call into worship. And we'll get to stand and sing songs of praise to Him. That's how we worship the Lord, through music as well. We worship God through our prayers, our fellowship. And remember, we have coffee fellowship. We always offer that before the service, 9:45 every Sunday morning. Good opportunity to get here a little early and have an extra cup of coffee and some good time of fellowship and conversation, catch up with some people maybe you haven't seen in a while. But there's many ways to get involved, not only fellowship, but ways to serve. And, you know, our values here are learn, grow, and serve. And you can always check out our website, TrinityAllenwood.com, found out all about us. Today, again, we have gathered here to worship just a few days before Christmas. And it's a lot of excitement. And, of course, we have our Trinity Kids special presentation this morning. And we're looking forward to that. And so we'll do that after our time of worship through song. They've been rehearsing and just getting ready for a long time now, and so they're so excited. It's great to have them participating and sharing with us about the good news of Christmas. So again, welcome, and we say also welcome to all of our online guests this morning. It's a great tool that we offer. We live stream our services and then archive them on our website. So if you're ever traveling or not feeling well and you can't join us in person, you can do that online through our website. So praise God for that. I would like to read from the Word of the Lord as I said, our call into worship. This is a way to just kind of take a deep breath and remember that, yes, we might have had different experiences coming here this morning or even throughout the week, but praise the Lord, we are here. And for those that are still on their way, we realize that there can be many distractions throughout our days. And even trying to get to our church on a Sunday morning. But we praise God that we're here, have His Word to kind of refocus us and to remind us of why we have gathered. So this morning I'd like to read to you from Isaiah chapter 12. And it's a short chapter, and it's Isaiah chapter 12. And allow this, the Word of God, to sort of just sink deep into our hearts and prepare us for a time of worship through song. Isaiah 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to the Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. How great in his midst. You know that we have this great privilege of being in the midst of our God this morning. So why don't we stand, and I'll pray us into a time of worship through song. And we get to thank God that he is with us this morning, and we are his. Father God, thank you for this special gathering. Lord, it's special because we're here together, and you call us to join hearts and voices. And in Isaiah, the prophet reminding us that we are to sing songs of praise to you, not only for what you have done, but for simply who you are. God, yes, we are in your midst. You are living within us as believers in your Son, Jesus. God, this time is unique and special, and we are grateful and thankful for it all. So God, we now sing songs of praise to you because you deserve all the glory. God, we can find joy, true joy, in you because of what you have done for us in Christ and because of who you are. We glory in your nature, we glory in your name, and we pray in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord together, church.
Matter where I go, I don't need to worry now that I It's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Yeah. Freedom with the spirit. Body in the wilderness. You will always satisfy. Yeah. There's honey in the rock. Water in the stone. Manna on the ground. No matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. Purpose in your plan. Power in the love. Healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did's enough.
I keep looking. I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing.
Thank you.
Father, we continue to praise you together.
Yes.
Lord, how good it is to be in this place and sing songs of praise to you that we can proclaim together.
Thank you, Lord.
Proclaim together that truth, Jesus, that you are alive.
Yes.
That indeed we serve that risen Savior, the Savior of the world.
Yes.
Jesus, the Messiah, the one we celebrate each and every day, and whose birth we celebrate this time of year. God, thank you. Thank you for dwelling among us, for dwelling with us. And God, we give you all the glory. Thank you for Jesus, that greatest gift of all, and that we can celebrate new life in him. Because he lives, we live. We give you praise and honor and glory in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Just take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you.
Good morning, church. Morning. We're going to get started. I just want to take a minute just to say thank you, as always, our teachers that volunteer with Trinity Kids. They love your kids. They do a wonderful job. We have a really, really wonderful program. We have some new beautiful faces this year, and we have some kids that are getting older faces too. So they're growing up in our church, and it's really amazing to see. Frank, he's amazing. He stayed late last week and set everything up for us. Angela did all the costumes. Our teachers, Connie, Liz, Chloe, I don't know if she's here, Chloe. She decorates they just do a wonderful job with your children. So I'm very grateful. And the children are such a blessing. They're excited to be here today. And we're excited to present to you our Christmas program. So enjoy it.
Told the shepherds in the fields of the dear Savior's birth.
God placed a bright and shining star to guide the wise men on the way across the desert and the hills to find a place where Jesus lay.
Amen.
Amen. Great job. This tree looks beautiful.
And it really wasn't too much work, was it?
I guess not. It does look good.
Wait. There's still something in the decorations box.
It's a baby doll.
A baby?
Why is there a baby in the box? In the Christmas box.
Oh, I see.
Me too. This baby doll represents Jesus. He is no decoration. He is the reason that we celebrate and decorate.
The reason for the season.
They did not find us.
palace, just a humble village home. And searching for a king, but finding a child, no crown, no throne. Still they bow down. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore.
Shoulders.
They're so good.
And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
Yes!
Jesus, Lord of thy
Praise the Lord. If there's any other kids that want to join the rest in the back, they're having now a well-deserved party. Kids at heart, praise the Lord. So if any of the kids want to go join them, they're having a party, and we'll watch a video and just enjoy some time of fellowship and celebrating. We're so very grateful for the kids and leading us in that worship and a reminder, beautiful reminder of truly what Christmas is all about. And so we're thankful, as it was mentioned, for all the leaders and those that put their heart into serving our kids and working with them throughout the year. And it's so beautiful whenever they can help to lead us during our time of worship. So, and thank you to all of you just for praying for them and supporting them. And after our service, make sure before you leave that if you see one of the kids, that you just congratulate them and thank them for just serving us and leading us today. It's always difficult when we have the kids, perform for us during service to follow that, because then there's sort of just this, oh, now we got to listen to him. He's not even dressed like an angel. I'll do the best that I can, but we praise God for that. And yes, our theme, as you can imagine and you can hear, is joy. And we've been going through what we call the Advent season, and just looking at the classic themes of Advent, which simply means arrival or anticipation of the arrival of Jesus and his birth, of course, of Christmas. And so we looked at peace, and we looked at hope, and we looked at love, and today is joy. How do we find joy, especially in the Christmas story and the Christmas season? Something just very simple about joy that I just want to communicate this morning and just share. And that true joy comes from being in the presence of God. We think about presence during Christmas time, presence that we receive, the greatest present that God gave us in Jesus. But we also recognize that we find joy in the presence, being with our God. So there's the presence, and then there is the presence. You know, as many of you know, our oldest daughter, Lauren, and her husband, Ben, live in Hawaii. And my wife and I are going in a few weeks to go visit them for one last time because they are moving back. And we're very excited about that. They're moving back at the end of January. And so we felt we were just, we just had to go. You know, we just have to go to support them, to help them, help them pack up. You know how it is. And so we were reluctant, but we're doing it. But we're going to be there for New Year's Eve and just get to celebrate with them as they kind of close the chapter in their lives, spending years there serving with the Maui Rescue Mission and helping those who are struggling with poverty and those who are unhoused. And so God has used them. And if you remember a few years ago at the wildfires, you know, and God just used them for their time, such a time as this. And so God is moving them back, and we are grateful. And I mention that because why are Claudia and I as parents so thankful they're coming back? Simply because we will get to be in their presence, you know? Like, we're thankful for technology and you know, where you can Zoom somebody in and virtually be with them and talk to them. It's a beautiful thing, but it's not the same, is it? It's not the same as being together. And, like, we can live stream our services, but that's not church, right? It's a good replacement in a time of need, but you can't be together. You can't shake a hand. You can't receive a hug. You can't use your gifts. And so when we are joyful that our kids are moving back because we will get to be with them and we will get to see them in person and spend time with them. And we don't ever want to take that for granted, right? The people in our lives that we treasure and that we love, you know, there's that saying that distance, right, or absence makes the heart grow fonder. And so we look forward to their return because we will simply be in their presence. And so that is why we are filled with a special kind of joy this Christmas season. But yes, Christmas, as we think about this and we end our Advent season, that Christmas is really about presents. We give and receive presents, but it is also, of course, celebrating the presence of God with us. Jesus, called Emmanuel, and that name means God with us. And so that is our theme and our focus for this morning, that we get to celebrate God with us, and we have joy. And so we have another opportunity to do that this week. Of course, Tuesday night, it's Christmas Eve, and we have a special candlelight service, so we invite everyone to come out. A good time to invite family and friends as well. Just a special evening starting at 6 o'clock of worship through music and celebrating the birth of Jesus in a special way. So we'd love for you to join us in doing that. But we find that as an opportunity to continue celebrating and being joyful. But during Christmas time, we talk about this thing called the incarnation, which is just a fancy word for saying God taking on flesh in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, God himself coming to dwell among us. And it's, of course, part of the familiar Christmas story. But we read at the beginning of Luke, it tells the story, right? It tells the story of Jesus and his birth. And so just a minute, I want to read this with you. But in the Gospel of John, John starts this by saying, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." See, John was saying, we got to see the glory of God. It was God coming to dwell with us. See, a little background of what was going on in the beginning of the Gospels in Luke chapter 2, that familiar Christmas story, that the people of Israel, God's chosen people, had been without a prophet for almost 400 years. Between Malachi and Matthew, the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New, there was what is called the 400 silent years. God was at work, but the people felt like he was absent from them. God was with them, but they hadn't sensed it. They didn't have a prophet or somebody called of God to speak to them, to help them, to encourage them, to challenge them. So for 400 years, called the silent years, they felt spiritually distant from their God, like he was absent. They missed being in the presence of their God. It was a dark time for the nation Israel. There needed to be a light. But see, yet in the midst of the darkness, there was great hope. But that hope was based upon the promises of God, that he would one day make good on his promises and send the Messiah, and he would be called the light of the world to bring light and peace and hope and joy to the people of Israel and through them to the world. See, the people of Israel during this time before the birth of Christ, they had been looking and longing for the Savior. They wondered where he was. I often think we can be like that sometimes too in our journey with Jesus, where perhaps we feel or sense a distance from God. The reality is he hasn't moved, but perhaps we have. In choices we make or things we choose to do or not to do, and we understand how that works in our fellowship with our God. The people at that time were not sensing joy. They felt like their God was absent, because joy is found in the presence. We give and receive presents at Christmas time, and it brings us joy, but it is all to remind us of the very presence of God with us in Jesus Christ. See, at the time, the people had not seen God as they were used to, like their ancestors had. No prophets, no word from the Lord. I mean, we like seeing things, don't we? We feel like that gives us a reality of something when we can actually see it, right? There's that old saying that seeing is believing. But to the people of Israel during this dark time, they didn't have any indication that he was still with them, but they did have his promises. And there was a remnant that believed and were looking. See, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Perhaps you've heard this before, but I think we can confuse those sometimes because we might use those terms interchangeably. But simply remember this, church, that happiness depends on our circumstances. We can say we feel happy because there's something good going on in our lives. Perhaps we got that job we were looking forward to. We enter into a new relationship that we've been hoping and praying for, and we can say that we are happy. But happiness is based on our current circumstances, where joy is not. Joy is much more of that deep, abiding sense, this state of being, of understanding the reality of God's love, and it comes from the trust in his promises. See the difference? That joy that we have as Christians, as believers, it's not based on our circumstances. It's that abiding sense, meaning it stays with us. This state of being, this mindset of understanding first the reality of God's love, that unconditional love, but it also comes, joy comes from the trust in his promises. See, the people of Israel in this dark time, this time of feeling the absence of God, they had to rely on and trust in his past promises, to know that there was the availability of joy. Joy, of course, also in Scripture is a fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits listed as the fruit of the Holy Spirit within the believer. But we remember that the fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit's fruit, right? We don't manufacture the fruit. We don't produce the fruit. It's the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit within us. And as we are obedient to the Lord and in fellowship with Him and journeying with our Jesus, that fruit then grows within us and manifests itself like a fruit tree. And joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it is a privilege for us, but it is something that we can have in the midst of any circumstance, because true joy, this fruit of the Spirit, is based on His truth and His promises and His presence in our life. Amen. Church, when all things may seem dark, we remember the promise of light that Christmas brings, that light that leads to joy, because His promises remind us of His presence. Let's read together this familiar passage from Luke, this Christmas story. It says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds who were out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior was born, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" I just briefly, in a remaining time together, I want us to look together at these important and well-known verses. See what it looked like for the shepherds, especially that night, to see the joy of the Lord and to experience the presence of the Lord. First, we see that it says that the shepherds were keeping watch. Notice that language there. They were watching over their sheep as God, our shepherd, Jesus later calls Himself our good shepherd, watches over us as His sheep. See, the shepherds were in the field at night. They were taking care of their sheep. They were looking at them. They were giving them attention and being focused on them. Why? It was their job, but they cared for their sheep. They were watching out for danger lurking in the darkness, keeping track of them. But see, they had to stay focused. What is it that we focus on, especially this time of year? Where do our eyes go? Where do we give our attention? Psalm 121 says it this way: "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." See, it's this beautiful picture of raising our gaze to the heavens and casting our eyes unto Jesus. As the shepherds were watching their sheep, as God watches over us, we in turn are to keep our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our joy. Amen. So it continues on. It says that the angel of the Lord appeared. Again, this wording of seeing, right? The shepherds were keeping watch. Then the angels appeared. And what does that mean? It meant the shepherds could see the angels. Here is God sending His angel to proclaim the good news so the shepherds could see. Why? Because a baby was born, the baby Jesus. that they were to see, that the world was to look to and look at. And it wasn't this absent God as the people had thought for the last 400 years. This is God in the flesh, the beautiful incarnation, and this is God dwelling with us to keep our eyes on Him. See, it wasn't just a loud noise and voice from heaven. It was not just an announcement. The angel appeared and the shepherds could see. Yes, it says they were terrified. Can you imagine seeing just a sight? We often read about angels in the Bible, and you know, it seems like every time that the angels appear to people, what do they have to say first? Don't be afraid. Fear not. It certainly got their attention. When you try to get somebody's attention, what do? Think of all kinds of things that we do. Maybe we make a loud noise. We call their name. The angel wanted to get the attention of the shepherds, so they appeared. Yes, they were making a great announcement and spoke to the shepherds, but he appeared. The angel appeared so the shepherds could see. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus, and it's as if God was saying, look at me. Give me your focus and attention. I'm about to make an announcement. And it goes on, and it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Again, this idea of seeing. It wasn't just an announcement. The angel didn't just appear, but the glory of God was shining all around them. See, there was no mistaking it. It wasn't just a small little light that perhaps could be explained away or misinterpreted. The glory of the Lord shone all around them, shining bright for the shepherds to see, getting their full attention. Church, does Jesus, this Christmas season, have our full and undivided attention? God was proclaiming the birth of the long-awaited Messiah, but God still speaks to us, doesn't he? God gets our attention. Church, are we listening and are we looking? Are we keeping our eyes on Jesus and seeing him in our lives? Goes on and says that the angel said, again, fear not, for behold, right there. What does that mean? It means pay attention, look with awe and wonder. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. So we don't want to forget that second part. We talk about the good news, and good news it is, but the angel says, good news of great joy. The people had not experienced joy. It was a dark time in the nation of Israel. There were Roman occupiers, and the people felt like God had abandoned them. And he was saying, cast your eyes and your gaze upon me once again. He made it so there'd be no mistaking that it was him. Behold, good news of great joy. They were witnessing the presence of God, proclaiming the very presence of God in the baby Jesus. He was certainly making an impression. I think the shepherds would never forget that. We don't know much about what the shepherds did after this event, some things that Scripture tells us, but can you imagine them a few days later? I got a story to tell you. They were able to see the glory of the Lord. So the more we look intently, that we gaze in wonder and behold the Lord Jesus, especially being reminded of this during the Christmas season, the more we get to know him, the more we get to perceive him and understand the reality of the presence of God in our lives. It is the presence of God, the present given to us in Jesus, the presence of God with us, Emmanuel, that truly brings us joy. The good news of great joy. That great joy was that the God who had seemed so far away and so distant was now present with them in the flesh. And then it goes on to say, for unto you is born. Again, a visible sign. It was not just a proclamation about the truth of the Messiah and the joy found in him, but he said, unto you is born. See, God in the flesh, Jesus walked among his people for almost 33 years. People could see him and touch him and hear him and walk with him and see him cry and hear him laugh and listen to him teach and sit at his feet. The goodness and graciousness and generosity of God that he would dwell with his people. A visible sign. How does God reveal himself to you, church? We have his word, don't we? He has revealed himself to us in his word. We have the great privilege of being able to pray and to hear from him. Who are the angels that appear to us these days? It's often other people, isn't it? We got to see the beautiful young kids dressed up as angels. It's a visual reminder, but you know, God still chooses to use angels to guard, to guide, to help us. Oftentimes it's in the form of other people. Who are the people in your life, church, this Christmas season that mean something special to you? Even as you reflect on the year past and a new year about to be born, who are those people in your lives you could say, God is using them to bless me. God is using these other special people to remind me of the presence of God himself. That is the goodness of God. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a beautiful verse, Psalm 16. What does it say? Simply this, that true joy, the fullness of joy, all that the joy of the Lord means and has for us is found in the very presence of God. Church, we don't want to miss this Christmas season. True joy for the believer is simply being in his presence. How are you present with God? Are we in his word? Are we praying? Are we fellowshipping with others? Are we serving others and being the hands and feet? Just recently, a couple days ago, I got to meet some people from the missions team at the oldest church in Lakewood, St. John's AME Zion Church. And there was this wonderful couple there that are helping to keep that church going. And you know, it was so beautiful because they talked about wanting to serve Jesus and be the visible presence and hands and feet of God to the people in Lakewood. So they have this small aging church. The people are aging, the building is aging. They have a small little basement. They said, what are we doing with this space? So they partnered with the town and they offer what's called a code blue service. So when the temperature dips under a certain degree, I think it's under freezing, they open their doors and people from the community, the unhoused community in Lakewood, can come and not only stay the night in a warm space with a fresh made cot for themselves, they get a hot meal, somebody to be with them that night, and in the morning, they're sent back out with a hot breakfast. Here is a group of about 25 people left in their church, and they said, what are we doing for the Lord? Sometimes you can feel like, we don't know what to do. We have no people left, no resources. Maybe we just close up shop, but there's a few that said, this is what we have. They put the menu up for the week, like what days, what food would be provided that people donated. Nothing fancy. A piece of cardboard put up with duct tape. We can get caught up in programming and the excellence of things, and I think there's a time and place for that, and that is good. But here is a group of people saying, we just want to serve. We want to provide and show the joy of the Lord. And how? By being present with the people, opening the doors, being the hands and feet. Psalm 16 says, in your presence there is the fullness of joy. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says it this way, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you catch that? It's talking about Jesus, and it says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think about that. Ever consider that phrase? That it says that Jesus saw the cross. Of course, he knew what was about to happen on the cross of Calvary. He considered it joy. There was joy set before him that he willingly went to the cross. What is that joy that was set before him? I think it was very simply and profoundly that he would once again be in the presence of his Father. He had been separated from the Father in that sense of glory. And how often did Jesus have to go away from the crowds and spend time with the Father because he desperately needed and deeply enjoyed spending time with his Heavenly Father? That when he saw before him the cross, he considered it joy that he willingly went to the cross, and it says, despised the shame of the cross. That joy set before him was being reconciled and reunited with the Father to once again be in his presence and, as it says, sit at the right hand. There are special people in our lives that we miss, that we long to be in the presence of. And one day, for those who have passed on from this life, we will get to be in their presence once again. But there are those who are still with us and walking among us that perhaps we miss, or that even we may take for granted. Being in the presence brings us joy. No matter our circumstances in life on any given day, our joy is found in the presence of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, everyone went rejoicing after being in the presence of the angels and then of the baby Jesus, the promised Messiah. Yes, of course, they still had worries and cares, and the shepherds still had responsibility, but their troubles and concerns would have paled in comparison to what they had just seen. They had seen the joy of the Lord. Our joy is in him. After having described himself, Jesus, as the vine and the disciples as the branches later on in his teaching ministry, John 15 says this. Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See that? He's talking about being in the presence. John 15 is preparing the disciples for his departure. They were like, Jesus, we can go with you. And he said, you cannot. And they were discouraged and dismayed. And Jesus is encouraging them to abide with him and stay with him, even in his physical absence. And he says, I tell you all these things so that the joy that I have, even going to the cross, the joy I have, even being with all of you, that joy, my joy, may be in you. And that then your joy may be complete. You know that we can have, not partial, but complete and full joy in the presence of our God. Being in relationship with Christ that comes from simply believing in him. Salvation. The relationship with God that is restored by believing that Jesus is who he says he is. The Son of God. And that he did what he said he was coming to do, to die on a cross and come back to life. That being in relationship with Christ, it brings the reality of joy. But then choosing to remain in fellowship with him each and every day, that brings the experience of that joy. See the distinction? It's so important. A relationship with God, being reconciled to him when we believe in Christ and in him alone for salvation, that brings the reality of joy in our life. But then when we want to really experience that joy, it comes with daily fellowship with him. It's no better explained than a relationship with a parent and a child, a father and a son. If the son is disobedient, perhaps the son needs to be punished, or there then becomes animosity or distance between the son and the father. Perhaps they don't talk for a while, a big disagreement or even an argument. Perhaps they don't talk for days or weeks. But church, has that disagreement, has it changed their relationship? No. They are still father and son. Nothing can ever change that reality. But what has changed is the nature of their fellowship. They're not in fellowship with one another. So there can't be that same joy. The reality of the joy is still there because their relationship is the same, but their fellowship has been broken and hurting. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, our true joy this Christmas season, we can truly remain in fellowship with him. I end with this. You know, sometimes it's important we go back to the original languages of the Holy Scriptures and the New Testament written in Greek. We understand that the word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A. But what's interesting about this word is that there's related words that we're familiar with the same root word. So if joy is C-H-A-R-A, chara, the word for gift is charisma. We love gifts, right? Especially this time of year. Buying and receiving gifts. Gifts are free to the receiver. You simply accept it. There's no cost to you. But see, the other word that's related is charis, which is grace. So we have joy, chara. We have gift, charisma. We have grace, charis. Grace is that beautiful, unmerited favor. The grace of God is free. See, as believers, we understand the reason for giving gifts at Christmas. We do it as an act of love towards others. We do it with joyful hearts in honor of the greatest gift ever given, that is Jesus, the baby in the manger. It is by the grace of God that the world was given Jesus. So now we can enter into the presence of a holy God because of Jesus. See, his presence led to our ability to enter into his presence because of the greatest present ever given, and that is Jesus. You know, the shepherds, their joy came from knowing Christ and being in his presence. Are we seeing Jesus in this season? He has made himself known. He is the God who can be known. He is the God who is present. He is Emmanuel, God with us. When we look to him, when we don't take our eyes off of him, we can experience that joy, which is still a reality. 2,000 years ago, the world was dark. Then came the light. The world was in fear. Then came hope. The world was in turmoil. Then came peace. The world was in despair. Then came joy. It is true for our world today. Church, Jesus is our joy. He's Emmanuel, God with us. We're reminded what it says again. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." His first advent, his first coming, his presence with us, walking among us on this earth. It came with a great announcement, with the angel and light and spectacle. Do you know he will return in the same way? First, he comes for us, the church. It says, with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trumpets of God coming to take back his bride, the church. Another great announcement. But then his true second advent, after that great and dark tribulation, when he comes to defeat his enemies, to bring his kingdom, to be present on earth once again, to rule and reign in righteousness, to dwell with his people on earth on his throne. The presence of Jesus. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There it is. Being with Jesus. Praise him. John 1:14 again, how we started. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you stand with me, please? I want to end with this verse, and then we will close our time by singing of this great joy that was meant and is for the whole world. 1 Peter 1:8 sums it up this way. Peter is saying, the Apostle Peter, saying to the disciples, though you have not seen him, you love him. To the Christians who were alive after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, saying, you haven't seen him, but you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. See that? He's saying, yes, you don't see him physically anymore to those early believers. But he's saying, but you know what? You believe in him. And that leads you to rejoice with joy, but not just any old joy. A joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Remember, I mentioned that old saying, seeing is believing. Peter's saying, no. Believing is seeing. We believe in the Lord Jesus and we see him. Church, let's keep our eyes on him. Let's abide with him. This Christmas time, remember, the greatest present is his presence, and we enjoy his presence by remembering his promises. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time together. Now, we close our time by worshiping you through song. God, the joy that you have placed in our hearts, the joy, God, that we have because of your presence, we sing of that joy. That joy that is for us, that is for the whole world. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together, church. Let us go in the peace and the love and the hope and the joy of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you so much for joining us today. Be blessed, and hopefully we'll see you Christmas Eve. Amen. Lord bless you.